It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Well, this is a hot mess we've got going here.
What?
I'm just saying, if people could see, if this was a video podcast, it's just, it's insane. Anyway.
This thing is cold.
Well, it's been sitting here, and as you may or may not have noticed, it's frickin' cold. It is cold as a witch's corpse that has been left outside in the weather because they were attempting to determine if she was a witch and she would have supernatural powers to combat cold. But, of course, that's not true. That's just narrow-minded thinking, so she froze to death. It's very sad. And also it's not true in that it's not colder than that. It's as cold as that because she was put out in that weather and... Never again the burning times. Something like that. Anyway. Hello. Welcome to... I apologize to all the Wiccans who just turned this off. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that has consistently... delivered new content every Thursday for 200 weeks in a row. Woo! I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 200.
And...
I'm Trish.
And you're going to have to talk louder and or get closer to the mic.
You always say that, and they can hear me anyway.
Exactly.
Also, Ezzy.
That's true.
Also, Ezzy's actually right here. And so is my new computer.
Trish, also known as the producer.
Scratch your
the
butt
producer's here. She doesn't when we're recording.
So,
it's really annoying.
So you don't remember why you originally called Trish the producer on the podcast?
No, that I remember.
Because you didn't recall that you were unemployed when we started this. And that seems to be a key component to why you were calling her the producer when we first started.
I think it fits. I believe the real reason is... After watching shows like News Radio and Frasier, I learned that the producer of a radio show is just a person who's nearby and doesn't say anything on a radio show, and so it seemed appropriate that she would. And also, I always like to imply that she's the boss of everything.
Well, I thought she bankrolled the first...
Tony just works for hat money.
So. Yeah, no, I just work for hat money, so... I mean, she did, technically, I bankrolled it with my personal funds, but technically she provided me the personal funds, so I mean, I suppose there's something to that.
You're welcome, Wong.
Yes. So it's her fault. Anyway, welcome to episode 200, and we brought the producer on just special for episode 200 here. And Ezzy's here just because she's like that. For those of you just joining us at episode 200, how auspicious.
Yeah.
And to basically give you a little sum here, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Cool people, mostly, like the producer, write in to the podcast, write into the email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little emails, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. No big whoop. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically with inside the hat itself. We, meaning me and William normally, but the producer's here too now, it's Ersatz, Distaff, Servants. I guess she's the only Distaff one.
What?
Distaff means female. It's weird. It's true.
I think you're making shit up.
No. I had to learn this because I saw it in an article recently, and I'm like, what exactly does distaff mean? And it means female.
Michael used a word in a meeting the other day that I didn't know. Like, that hardly ever happens.
It does, but apparently you don't know distaff, so.
I know it. Yeah, it's a spinning thing.
I know, and that's no, and that's where it comes from.
I've been on the podcast now for less than 5 minutes, and I'm already busted out the F-bomb.
Yep, that's my baby. Most of these spikes are just William laughing hysterically.
Okay, but you got to finish your spiel.
No, Message Center Plus. Remind me later. Sorry. Still haven't figured out all the shit I need to uninstall on my new computer. We pull things out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about a whole hour. That's the whole show.
And then, right after we're done recording it, we post it.
Yep.
And
we do that, Paleface?
You.
Yes.
And we do that on Thursday.
One time me.
On Thursdays.
One time the producer.
On Thursdays. And sometimes we have to pre-record it a week ahead of time to make sure we can put it out on Thursdays.
But yes.
But since...
And sometimes we have to go to other dimensions.
Since St. Patrick's Day in 2011...
Yep.
A new episode is posted every single Thursday.
Every
single Thursday. Even on Christmas single Day.
Thursday. Even on Christmas Day.
Even on Christmas Day.
On New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
Oh, and every Thanksgiving.
Every Thanksgiving.
Thursday.
Yes. So we're
never
amazing.
Never on Martin Luther King Day.
And in anticipation of episode 200, there was difficulty. Because episode 199 was a mess.
Yeah.
Because my computer was starting to die, and this was a problem. But just in time to save the day, arriving Tuesday evening, I have a new laptop. It is awesome. It is a Lenovo ThinkPad Edge with a half terabyte solid state hard drive. Boots up faster than an iPhone. 16 gig of memory, as near as I can tell, just because the third-party company who actually constructed it was like, you know, RAM's cheap. Let's fill up all the spots that can hold RAM with RAM. And so it has a ton of RAM. It is awesome. And it still has Windows 7, so that's also awesome. And I am happy. And now we're recording on it. Won't you?
I wonder if we can get the alternate universe guys to record on holidays that don't fall on Thursdays. Like Martin, you know, things that fall on Mondays
Memorial
all the time.
Day.
Yeah. They can be.
I thought you were going to say, I wonder if we can get the alternate dimension guys to talk on this episode, and it was going to be like a pause, and then we'd be like, hi, this is Evil Tony at Evil William.
Is there an evil producer?
Oh, yeah. You don't listen to the show enough. Yes, there's an evil producer. She's just like you, but evil and has a goatee.
Has a goatee.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But
there, even Evil Ezzy has a goatee.
Well, yeah.
And Evil Tony has a goatee over his beard.
Yeah, right. Very fashionable.
And Evil William is exactly the same, except he has a goatee and he takes pennies and never leaves pennies. Otherwise, he's identical to this William.
I feel a little bit like Ezzy might be kind of like alternate universe Cartman.
Evil universe good. Cartman is actually good.
Right.
Or Ezzy is actually good. That would explain a great deal. So, welcome to 200.
Yeah.
Whereas we've established, it is really cold.
Well, it is pretty cold.
It is freakishly cold.
It was winter.
Last 2 days it was colder. I mean,
yes,
wind chill was like 20.
For those of you who don't live in this part of the country, we had what is considered a wind chill advisory from the National Weather Service, mm-hmm. which said, basically, the wind is so cold you will die if you go outside, so don't do that.
And Tony and I came to an agreement that meant we did not have to get up at 5:15 and go to the gym.
Yes.
We
skipped the gym for those 2 days.
That
tomorrow
was probably wise.
Tomorrow, in theory, we're going. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, it was at our house. Let's see. Back when we had the big snow, because we did have a big snow between.
The big snow.
Like, what was it?
Monday night.
6 to 8 inches or something?
It was a lot.
So, I shoveled the driveway the next morning, and the wind chill was 11 below that day.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
And that wasn't too bad. I mean, it took me about an hour to shovel everything, and my fingers started to hurt by about that time, but it was all right. But then, the next 2 days, when it was like 25 below.
No, 30-something
below. and the wind was blowing, so a lot of the driveway got covered up again.
Yeah.
But and it would have taken me maybe 15 minutes to clear it, but I wouldn't do it.
You would have
because that would have been awful.
Tomorrow is
I
only
have died, but it.
I believe the wind chill tomorrow is minus 20, so we're gonna risk it.
But this afternoon, it got up to the wind chill got up to being like minus 5 or something.
Yeah.
So I went out and cleared it out, and some a nice old lady walked by, and we visited for like 20 minutes. I was outside for a long time.
This weekend's going to get up to the 20s. Yeah, we're super psyched.
I was going to say, at work, we were looking at the weather and saw it was going to get up to the 20s, and we're like, woo, heat wave, because, you know, everything's relative.
My bastard coworker who telecommutes from Austin emailed today and said, we've got a high of 23 today. It's the coldest I've ever experienced since I've lived here. I hear you guys are below zero. And I was like, yeah, I would kill for 23 right now.
It's funny, when people from Austin. If it snows and it's 20 degrees outside with no wind chill, and I'm shoveling the driveway, I won't even wear a coat.
Oh, no, because you get too hot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You work up a good sweat at 20 degrees.
Tony, not being from around here, one of his favorite things when he first moved here was when I would say, no, it's too cold to snow. He'd be like,
yeah,
it's going to snow tonight.
I was very confused by that. It took a while for me to understand that.
Well, I don't really know what the weather's like in the Northwest. I mean,
rainy.
You're near the ocean and stuff, so it's probably. I mean, you're
it
actually
is much more,
further north.
Yeah, but it is much more temperate.
Yeah.
We're near the ocean, and also we have these things called mountains and these things called trees that stop Arctic Canadian wind from just rushing down into our faces. Whereas here, like, you can shoot an arrow and hit northern Canada if your bow is big enough. Like, there's just nothing separating you and the evil spirit of the Wendigo coming down from the Yukon.
But to clarify, you have evergreens. We have trees.
There's some trees.
Lose their leaves and don't do
as much. Yeah, and then it's just sticks.
Well, this part of
standing up.
This part of the country for thousands of years was notorious for being very windy almost all the time and having big blizzards in the winter and everything. It's
but
not quite
it also
that bad
had
anymore.
A lot of trees back in, like, it had more forest land and stuff. And then,
well, Iowa would never had a huge number of trees. It was mostly prairie. You had trees around rivers and things, and sometimes you'd have big cottonwoods in the middle of nowhere because they were the only ones that could stand the wind.
Oh, cottonwoods.
But yeah, this is...
We get wind, we get rain, but we also get sun.
Oregon also technically has a desert.
Oregon has a lot of different biomes in it, depending on what part you're in. Yeah, it has the high desert. It has some plains. It has a lot of farmland.
You got
it has
snow
mountains
where you lived.
Yes, but not so much. Oh. Now it would be unusual, but not unheard of, to go a whole winter without any actual snow accumulation. If it snowed at all, there was a school delay. If it snowed up to like an inch or so, we would almost certainly have school canceled.
Really?
Absolutely. Nobody knows how to drive in the snow.
Well, last winter, there was snow on the ground for, I think, 4 months.
I've tried to explain that to people. I've tried to explain the idea that we will go for weeks, even months at a time, never getting above freezing.
Yeah. And there was snow on the ground for like 4 months. When I was growing up, the typical winter, there was snow on the ground for 4.5, sometimes 5 months. And that's the first winter in maybe 25 years that's been like that.
She really misses that cave, even though it's not that she's determined to go spelunking. Ezzy's about to crawl up to her death, just so you know. She's crawling into a pile of boxes.
It was nice knowing her.
So
if you're
going to
bid on her, you better hurry.
Yes.
Unless you're into dead cats.
And she's gone. She's just gone.
But this winter is back to those mild winters we've been getting for the last quarter.
And even last winter, we were talking about it the other day. Like, up in the early part of it, up until through December was really mild. It was really warm. It was only once we flipped over into the next calendar year, and then it started snowing and snowing and snowing, and it wouldn't stop.
Bastards.
Which, again, that's been pretty typical. You, for the last 25 years, 30 years maybe even, you barely get any snow at all until January. But again, last year we did have snow in December, but you know,
stuff that sticks around.
And
much.
Also, it seems like we get these Arctic blasts more often than I remember when I was growing up. Yes. It would happen, not that often. We used to go outside, and we'd be outside all day, like 8-9 hours, and your fingers would start to hurt, but then after a while, they'd just get numb, and you'd be fine after that.
Well, there you go.
When I was a kid, we'd go to my grandparents, and they had a walkout basement. The ground was, like, excavated.
Oh, yeah.
And so my mom, I don't know, she'd gone into town or something. So we go, us kids, we would go up on the concrete retaining wall. And it's not like the retaining walls that they have now that are, like, stair-stepped down. It was just a straight, vertical wall. Mm-hmm. And so we'd stand on the top of the wall and jump into the snowdrift below until we got too cold. And then we'd run in the house and put our pants in the dryer and pull the pants that were in the dryer out hot and put them on.
Smart.
And then go back outside until my mom came back, and then she yelled at us because we were wasting electricity. But it was Grandma's house. She's like, I don't mind.
We had to put on long johns, a pair of jeans, a second pair of jeans.
Ta-da.
Snow pants? Did you have snow pants?
Well, if we had snow pants, we'd do that.
Izzy has just broken free.
But if we didn't have snow pants, we just had to wear like two or three pairs of jeans.
See, I grew up in a place where I never saw snow more than a couple inches at most, and it never hung around for more than a day or two at most, and I had snow pants and moon boots.
Oh, man. Did you ever put bread sacks in your boots?
We did that.
Nope.
Yeah.
You should do that now. That's how you keep your socks dry.
Yeah.
That might not be a bad plan to get to work.
And also, it's easier to get your feet in and out of them, because, you know. But, yeah.
So, how was your week?
Oh, I don't know.
Besides cold.
Of interest to report.
We got some stuff.
We do?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You guys always have stuff.
New computer, as I mentioned. I'm now playing Assassin's Creed 4, the pirate one.
He's a pirate.
I'm a bad pirate so far. I'm not very good at it.
You bad as in bad, not bad as in good.
Yeah, bad as in poor at pirating.
Okay. What?
I need improvement in pirating.
What? Why?
Well, for starters, I don't drive real well.
Drive?
Yeah, pilot. The boat.
Wait, you're from...
Sometimes I run
near
into
the ocean,
islands.
And you're calling it driving a boat.
Yeah. The way I do it, it kind of is.
Is it a ship, technically?
It is a ship. It's a brig.
Okay.
And I do occasionally hit an island, like, head-on, right there.
What?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Would you like to tell them the story?
I do, but I wasn't going to.
No, you go for it. I'm over it now. When this first happened, the producer found this hilarious, and I was not in good humor about this. I've gotten over it since then.
So Tony is driving his boat.
I'm a very good driver.
Driving his boat.
One morning before
it's
we go
ship,
to work.
I'm driving my ship.
And he's trying to get to this island. And the guy, there's, you know, like guys yelling stuff. And the guy yells, "Land ahoy!" And Tony crashes like head on into the island.
Next instant.
Such that... it makes him, he's, you know, at the big wheel, driving the boat, and such that
wheel.
It makes his character fall backwards onto his ass, at which point I just start laughing hysterically.
Because it wasn't even, like, okay, here's my defense. I saw the island.
Yeah,
and
how could you miss it?
Well, and that's the thing, because I was on it, like, it literally, he said... "There's an island ahead, Captain." Bonk. Just like immediately. But here's the deal. This is my first time
driving a boat?
this boat. And the goal here is to get to this island.
Yeah.
To sail to the island. Yeah. And it has a little dot out there. So let's go in this direction.
So he did.
And it has how many meters to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of meters. Mm-hmm. I had to go a long ways. And I got there. And I'm getting closer, and it's like 200 meters, 175 meters, and I'm basically there, but it still says like 125 meters, And so I'm waiting for what I assume is like I get close enough and then there's a cutscene of like docking or whatever.
Sure.
But no, I get close enough and the guy says, there's an island there, Captain. And then I hit it and fall on my butt. And apparently what the game expected me to do.
Well, wait. So what actually happens then after he like screws around a little bit more and is pissy with me because I'm still like rolling around laughing is that he just jumps off the side
of
the ship.
I parked the boat.
It wasn't parked. It's just, and the
turn
guy
not put on the emergency brake.
You know, the guy who does the thing yells, "Captain overboard!"
But
no one on the crew does anything. They're just like, "Yeah, whatever."
It's like everybody's making fun of me. My wife is making fun of me. The game is making fun of me.
So he gets onto the island, and they're like, "Here, by the way, now that you're here,
you have jobs to
what
do
you
here.
Really should do is air assassinate an ocelot." So, Tony was not having a good morning.
Do what?
Yes. Okay. Now, so, so you get on the island.
Yeah.
And the reason you're on this island is to teach you about hunting. Because hunting is part of the game.
Okay.
So you hunt stuff, you
beat
skin
yourself.
Stuff, and then you make things out of it. And so you go to the island, and the quest is you got to kill 2 ocelots, and you got to kill 2 iguanas, because that's what's on this island, ocelots and iguanas. It's not a very big island.
And seagulls, but...
But we're not going
to. I'm not sure
those.
I know what an ocelot even is.
It's like a little
cat.
Wild cat.
Oh.
But it's pretty small. They're small enough that they don't, like, attack me. They run away from me.
It's about, like, the size of Twiglet.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Sure,
but
sure.
Stronger. less fat. Anyway. And as with all things in this, there's the mission.
Yeah.
Which is kill and skin 2 ocelots, kill and skin 2 iguanas. And then there's the optional...
Style points.
Yeah, basically. You do these and you get extra awesomeness.
Oh, okay.
And the extra awesomeness things are, one, shoot an iguana with a pistol, because I could just, like, stab it or whatever, but this is to shoot it. And the second one is air assassinate an ocelot.
What does that mean?
In Assassin's Creed, air assassinations are when you're up high, like, on a rooftop or in a tree, and you jump down and, like, get them with your knife as you fall in this like badass maneuver when you're doing it on like a papal guard or something in Renaissance Rome.
You know, a person, not a
20-pound
cat. Not
super badass when you're doing it to a kitty. And
also
it's also hard.
It is? Why?
Because they run away from me.
Oh. And because
well, but they're
not
tiny. Supposed to be able to see you.
You have to aim better.
Well, but I'm just in the tree.
And also this island is like the size of our front
yeah.
yard.
So
I mean,
they
it's nothing.
Walk over, they look at me, and I'm like, get close enough so I can do it. And they're like, fuck you. And they run away. So finally, I finally pulled it off. Because this morning I couldn't sleep, so I'm up at like 4:30, and I start playing the game, and I'm not really awake. So I'm still on this island. I just climbed up the tallest tree I could find and just sat there waiting for an ocelot to come by. And it took a long time, but it finally did, and I hit the button, nailed him. That cat will think twice before it lives
you
again.
You are so sexy, baby.
It was a mess. But no, but that's actually not even the stuff I'm really bad at. I'm bad... I'm bad...
That's the stuff he's good at.
Hey, I air assassinated an ocelot. Who else here has done that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you. That's what I thought. Let the record show the producer is raising her hand. Let the record show the producer is a fucking liar.
But air assassinating an ocelot isn't really a piratey thing. On your
no. It's an assassin. It's an assassin who hates animals.
And wait,
thing.
Let's be fair. Let's be fair. Beaching your ship. I mean, the sailing aspect of being a pirate is not really the uniquely
exactly,
pirate.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, lots of people say who aren't pirates.
I'm not a good driver.
And also, it's a little bit silly. I mean, I understand this is a game, so they want to give you something to do. But it is not my impression that typically the captain of a pirate ship pilots his vessel.
Yeah, that's
no, but
thing.
That's part of. I am a really
there's
good.
There's other people for that.
To be fair, I was a pilot first, and now I'm a pirate captain. And I'm
okay,
an awesome
but,
pilot.
But technically, you haven't even addressed any pirate
no,
specific.
What I
things.
Love, though, is the game. I'm stuck on a ship basically as a slave. I'm a white dude, but they kidnap me and they're going to take me away. And me and this black guy break out. And I say, what's the plan now? And the black guy's like, we're going to kill all these guards. I saw a brig. We're going to steal it and run away. And I'm like, cool. So I help him do this. And afterwards, I decide I'm keeping the ship.
The ship you just killed everybody on? Or
Yeah, the brig. The brig. And I'm like, why do I get to be the captain? Because I'm the white guy. And I was a little bit annoyed. And I had to stop playing and go to work then. So the next day, I play the game. And the immediate next cutscene is a conversation about that exact fact.
Really?
Yes. And it wasn't an argument. It was my character is basically saying, were you annoyed when I said I was taking the ship? And he's like, no, I probably wouldn't work. He's like, yeah, I know some of the guys won't. He's like, the guys won't follow me because they're racist fucks. And so now he's my quartermaster, and that's cool. And he's happy with that.
Okay, but anyway, what about being an actual pirate?
Yes,
are you bad at?
Here's the thing.
So far.
He doesn't have an eye patch. Or a parrot.
Don't help.
Or a peg leg.
Exactly.
Oh, man. You're a terrible pirate.
God damn it. As you just... No. Here's the thing. So I get my ship, and I go to Nassau in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Because that's where all the pirates hang out. And I meet my old pirate buddies, who are all captains of their own ship.
Old pirate buddies?
Yeah. I was a pirate, but I wasn't a captain. I'm not even an assassin. It's really fucked up. Seriously. I killed an assassin and stole his clothes, and everybody thinks I'm an assassin.
But nobody would buy a game called Pirate's Creed.
Well, they might. But anyway. So all my pirate friends are here, and they're like, hey, you got a ship. How awesome. Da-da-da-da. They make fun of me because I named it something weird, whatever. And one of them is like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pirate. And I, the player, am like, I'm already a pirate. And then my character is like, dude, we were on a ship together for years. I've pirated plenty. And he's like, no, but it's a video game, so I have to teach the guy controlling you how to be a pirate. He doesn't say that, but that's the whole point. And so then we go out to pirate. And I'm supposed to shoot down a ship until it's incapacitated, and then we'll board it, kill a bunch of people, steal their shit. Pirating. Mm. There's a very, very fine line between the ship is incapacitated, throw the ropes and board it, and the ship is on fire, oh look, the ship has sunk. There's a very fine line,
and
I have a lot of difficulty with it.
And do you end up going down with the burning ship?
No, I just blow the shit out of a bunch of ships, and it's lose-lose.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's nothing. And so we move on to find another ship, because the point of that tutorial is I gotta do one. So I killed so many damn people for no reason until I finally won. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Anyway, that was not supposed to be the main focus here.
What did you name your ship that everyone
was? The Jackdaw.
What does that mean?
It's a little black bird. From my dude's Welsh. Oh, fun.
Did you name it, though, or did the game
it
name
did.
It?
The game named it. He named it from his favorite bird from childhood. But interesting thing. So it's a white dude. And he's got sort of strawberry blondish hair, which is very different from other assassins. And I'm like, this feels weird. I don't really like this. But the voice is very familiar to me. Mm-hmm. Really familiar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell? So I look it up. It's John fucking Constantine.
Really?
And now that I know that, they clearly motion captured his face because he looks like John fucking Constantine. And now I totally love this guy because I'm like, it's just 18th century pirate John Constantine. It's awesome. But no, anyway, we have to talk about some other shit here. We have to talk about two movies and a TV show.
Okay. And a TV show.
Black Mirror.
Oh, gosh. All right, we're saving that for last.
All right.
The producer was having a bad weekend.
Producer was having a rough weekend.
She was sad.
And she wanted to watch a movie, and so we found an old standby that we both have watched before called Nothing to Lose.
Who's in that?
Tim Robbins and Martin Lawrence in a fish out of water, love hate buddy comedy action flick.
I kind of remember that.
Also starring John C. McGinley as one of the foils. It is so ridiculous, and it still makes us laugh.
Yeah, it is not a good movie, but
it is not. But it's hilarious for like for just. The it is so like the last death rattle of the 80s, and this was in the 90s. Like,
was
the last,
like 95
I think so. And this was clearly the last death throes of the 80s, right here. There's just that vibe, and it's all a giant walking cliche, but it's totally not aware of that fact. It's amazing.
Well, sometimes it is, sometimes they kind of refer to it.
Sort of. It's it's the most, dare I say, black and white picture of race relations ever. Like, it's just amazing. Tim Robbins is a high-powered executive. I'm not even going to tell you what kind of business, because it doesn't matter. He wears a suit the whole movie. And he has a very bad day, in that he finds out his wife is cheating on him and terrible stuff is happening. So he just gets in his car and drives. And he drives into a bad part of L.A., where Martin Lawrence attempts to carjack him by getting in the car and pointing a revolver at his head, to which Tim Robbins says, "Boy, did you pick the wrong guy on the wrong day," and slams on the gas. Hijinks ensue. It's ridiculous.
No one should see this movie. Watch it.
Yeah, totally. If you have HBO Go, it's there right now. That's where we saw it. But
and then later in the weekend, because it was like a four-day weekend, Tony says, "Hey, we could watch I, Frankenstein, because we haven't seen it."
Because it's on Netflix now.
And yeah, we're expecting it to be terrible.
It is on Netflix, and we haven't seen it either, but I don't know if we're going to.
I think we're going to, because it looks awful. I think it's going to be like Dracula Untold. Trish is hoping it's going to be more like Underworld.
Yeah.
But either way, it's going to be terrible, and it's going to be hilarious.
So, but I'm like, no, I don't really want to watch that. I said, let's watch Hansel and Gretel
Witch Hunters.
Yeah,
because I watched that one time and thought it was hilarious, and Tony had not seen it.
I had not seen it, and I had not wanted to see it because I had heard basically it's a lot of watching women get beat up. And Trish is like, "Well, it's watching witches get beat up, and in this particular cosmology, witches are women. So technically, that's true, but it's not particularly misogynist in that angle." Yeah, and I was like, "What the hell? I'll go see it." And so I watched it. Holy shit, is that movie bad. That movie is so bad. Here's a sentence I didn't ever think I would say. Famke Jensen can do better.
What do you mean you never thought you'd say that?
Because Famke Jensen is not a good actress.
Oh, you don't think so?
I do not think so.
We saw her in Prince of Persia, which we thought was a fairly good film. I thought she was good in that.
And she was in the X-Men one and stuff like that. But in general, I consider her a very mediocre actress. But she can do better than this movie. Forget goddamn Jeremy Renner and motherfucking Peter Stormare. Although I like to think Peter Stormare was just really high on coke the whole time or something.
I thought it was funny, like you. Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious, but it's atrocious.
I don't think it was supposed to be funny the way I thought it was funny, but I thought it was kind of funny.
It's so bad and dumb, and they just... I'm not going to say it's self-referential, like it's self-aware. It's just that apathetic. They don't care if it's that shitty.
No, I don't think so.
And there's some sort of pride in that. They're like, dude, we made these goddamn steampunk weapons in our fantasy world.
Right.
And we're filming these action scenes. No. Because that's the thing.
And we got Jeremy Renner and we convinced him to take his shirt off. So what the fuck
so fuck
we
you.
Need?
Well, this is the thing. This is like a whole new
also,
genre.
What's it rated? Because there were several F-bombs and naked ass.
No, and a boob.
Oh, and a boob.
I don't really remember any of that. But
and I'm like, this had to be PG-13.
What? This is like a whole new genre of film where this isn't about story. This isn't about being clever. This is just about, hey, let's take... It's barely even about the original fairy tale.
No. This is about we've developed these interesting special effects.
Yeah, well, yes.
And
there's
do those. And everybody else just showed up the day of.
It's mostly about design. Like, what are the people wearing? What are the weapons like? What are the stunts like?
It's like a slightly more successful version of Ultraviolet.
See, I was going to compare it to Van Helsing.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Oh, that is actually a very good comparison.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. But I think...
And I loved that movie for its atrociousness in the exact same way.
I think they wanted Van Helsing to be something else. I think they...
Oh, yeah. People clearly had...
Again, it's kind of like Once Upon a Time, the TV show, where we're not going to try really hard to make this interesting or good. We're just, this is something we're making for
money.
Well, if I watch that show and I keep reminding myself, this is a Disney show based on Disney characters, you know.
Yeah. The
Elsa
from Frozen probably helps that.
Yeah. If I were a diehard Disney fan. I think I would love it.
I've known diehard Disney fans who do
that. Not that I think it was great. I would just think it was clever and whatever in that Disney context. I think this stuff is the same. It's like we're not trying to... This isn't supposed to be high art.
For those of you playing at home, the producer just lost a fight with Ezzy.
No, I didn't. I got her on the ground. She wanted to go on my shoulders.
Okay.
I won.
The producer just won a fight with Ezra. Somehow that doesn't seem
better. I
didn't
know y'all were keeping score.
Oh, my goodness. You haven't seen the board in the past. As you can see from the board.
Wait. Are you going to go to the TV show? Because I thought of something I want to talk about before the TV show.
All right, hurry. Past a half hour already.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. 200.
Tony and I are convinced we're awesome gift givers. And as proof of this, we got my sister a role-playing card game based on Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. Oh,
I've heard of that. In which the players all play young women with the goal of attracting a man by the end of the game.
And apparently it's weirdly compelling role-playing.
Weirdly compelling?
Yeah.
I believe that might be the exact phrase used by the reviewer that we yes. got this from.
Yeah, he was like, you know, I didn't expect to be interested in this, but it was oddly compelling. And my sister
like
agreed that it was fun. And you can also get an expansion,
oh God.
Which introduces zombies.
Because of course it does.
So, check that out.
Yep.
If you don't want to watch terrible movies.
Or.
Right, now we can talk about.
Black Mirror.
Yes.
Which we also saw recently.
Did you?
Now.
How many episodes did you watch?
Well, as far as I know, all but the most recent, like, Christmas episode.
Yeah, there's seven total if you count the Christmas episode.
Well, I'm pretty sure we've seen them all except that one. Right. Well, unless there's, like, a, you know, maybe there's three or four we missed, like, because they're in series, right? Three or four at a time or something?
There's two series of three, I believe. So there's only six episodes, and then there's been a Christmas
I'm sure
special.
We've seen them all.
Yeah.
Except for the Christmas
they're
one.
They're on Netflix.
Okay, I was going to say, where did we watch them? On Netflix?
Yeah, and Netflix. I believe six episodes are on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. We only watched the first two,
mm-hmm.
and the producer is out.
Yeah. We watched the first one. We were out. And then a couple days later, we decided, well, maybe they'll be okay, and... I think only through morbid curiosity did we watch all the rest, and we pretty much decided it would have been okay for us to be out after the first one.
Well,
they weren't terrible, but they're... Eh.
Here's what
well, it's hard, because I think it's well-crafted.
Yeah.
Technically, I think it's a good show. Unlike many other shows, it clearly has something it's trying to communicate.
Yes.
But... It's just a worldview that's horrible, and
it
I
is
don't
depressing.
I think it's a good show.
And you do you like it overall?
I've only seen the two episodes.
Okay.
Myself, I will possibly watch more. I think it's a good show. Okay, for those of you playing at home, it's an anthology sci-fi show. It's sort of a British update. It's from 2011, and I think Twilight Zone-y kind of thing. But here's the deal. It's really fucking dark. It is very unsubtle in its messages. And it's really bleak. But it's still pretty clever. But the big one, and I'm just going to do this. I'm about to spoil the first, like, 10 minutes of the first episode for you. Because this really sets tone in a lot of ways. The premise of the initial episode is that a fictitious British princess, who's clearly a Diana analog, is kidnapped. And the kidnappers release a video, I believe on YouTube, with a ransom demand. And their ransom demand is only that by 4 o'clock that day, the Prime Minister of the UK will, on TV, on all channels, explicitly... and publicly have intercourse with a pig to completion. And then she'll be released. And the whole episode is sort of the political dealing with that. At that point, it becomes the most fucked up, perverted episode of West Wing you've ever seen in your life. And it's really... And for those of you cringing at home, that makes sense. But it is a really kind of fascinating in its dealing with the idea of the political, I mean, the political ramifications and the personal ramifications, and what does this mean, and can't, you know, because people say we don't give in to terrorism, but it's like, well, but you're not dying or any, like, you know, there's, it's, it creates, it's a horrific thought experiment that creates a really interesting situation.
See, I didn't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that what they were trying to do fell pretty flat in a way that was, it just didn't work for me. I didn't think the first show was really very good. And in my opinion, after seeing the six of them without seeing the Christmas episode, I would say of all of them, that's probably the weakest in terms of premise, in terms of delivery, everything.
See, and I find the second one weaker, although I enjoyed it more, in that I think what's interesting about the second one is the world they've created. What's not interesting is the plot.
And I don't remember which one.
The second one is where everybody rides bikes.
Oh, okay.
And the actual story there, I wasn't that interested in. But the world they created was kind of the weird 1984 dystopia world was interesting. And it was well acted. But, no, I found the first one interesting because in my brain, it was just very thought. I was like, how does this play out? Because, I mean,
well, then that's just it.
It could happen. No, well, I mean, there's reason why anybody would.
But
and that's so.
But my opinion was the way it played out was not
not realistic.
Not even remotely realistic.
Interesting.
Not even remotely. Like there were about 1,000 things that could have and would have happened before what happened. Now,
interesting.
That said, I felt like there was a point that they were trying to make here about politics and politicians. And what kind of people politicians really are, and what would happen if the reality of what a politician is came up against the reality of what technology is.
Yeah.
And when you put those two things together, could you get something like this? And I do give it credit that it was. Even though I thought it was completely implausible, it wasn't as implausible as it should have been. Let's put it that way. And I was impressed with that. I was like, wow. I think that might be
the tagline for the show, entire show.
I don't think this is plausible enough for this to actually be a good story that I think works. But I will give them this point. This is a lot more plausible than it should be.
No, I think that might explain Black Mirror right there. I think that should be the tagline. It's not super plausible, but it's disturbingly not as unplausible as you think it is.
Now, I like the second one better, that one. I don't remember which. There was one that I thought was so clever and so plausible and such good speculative fiction that I really liked it. But now I don't really remember which one that was. I'd have to kind of go over them. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the one.
Given the limited number,
they're not related. There's no.
That's the thing. They're unrelated, and there's a limited number. So I feel like I'm going to go back, but I have so much shit on the DVR I haven't even bothered with yet. So, I mean, I still haven't watched any of the second season of Defiance. So, what the fuck do I know?
I mean, it doesn't matter too much if you forget what happened in episode 1 and 2. So,
But it's not like it's just popcorn. Not just I feel like I'm gonna watch an episode of this shit today.
And I don't think it's you. That was part of the thing. We watched it back to back. It's not like let's just sit down and watch six straight hours either.
Yeah, I need to take my breath here. I feel like I lost 45 pounds in a day.
It's one of those it's one of those shows that it would be hard to recommend to somebody because it's not like groundbreaking TV or anything like that. On the other hand, if what you want to recommend to somebody is something that when people are done watching it, they're probably going to talk for 3 hours about it, it does achieve that.
I feel it was very thought provoking.
Yeah, it is thought provoking. Whether or not you think the plots are plausible or anything like that, it does open up a lot of interesting conversation.
Yeah, and it is, one can argue, and you and I are always big fans of this, genuine speculative fiction, which is hard to come by these
days. That's right. And they are well made and well acted.
Yeah. The production value, especially for being BBC, values are great. Really the performances are good.
If there's anything that bothers you about it, it's going to be you're going to think the plot is like too far-fetched to kind of plug into. But that's not true for all of them. Some of them are really good. And even if you think the plot is far-fetched, like to me, the first one was the worst one for that, but it was still provocative.
And I don't know. I felt it was all very plausible, just all around. I don't know. Actually, we can talk details after.
Well, you could. You probably know better than I do because.
Wait.
No, I'm just saying you.
I have threatened a lot of people with pig fucking.
You've probably got a better idea of what is going on in the culture and, you know, what the technology means to people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a little more. I'm constantly surprised by what people will do and not do and say and not say.
And also technically we're not talking about American culture. We're talking about British culture.
And I was going to say, there's a whole layer of sous valence issues that arise in British society that aren't even here.
I was going to say elected government versus royal government. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that also is an issue that comes up in that episode. Yep. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say I liked anyone in that, but there are certain characters within that who I don't know that this was supposed to be the case, but I greatly empathized with.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it. So help me, if you ruin this podcast.
He's going to put you on his boat and drive it.
200's a nice round number in time to kill a cat.
You know,
is what I'm saying.
Speaking of boats.
Driving them.
It's interesting that you should be talking about that with the video game, because I was thinking recently, is there a video game that simulates like you are a sailor or you are a captain of a 16th or 17th century ship?
Absolutely.
There is?
I'm certain of it. If you know what it is, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and write about it.
Because I think the other adult in the house would enjoy a game like that, depending on what it is.
I'm enjoying this one.
It's called Grand Theft.
And this is the thing. So, Assassin's Creed Unity comes out. Penny Arcade made a comic about it. They're like, and there's no pirate ships in this. They're like, and the other guy's like, you're expecting pirate ships in every Assassin's Creed game now? And he's like, no, I want pirate ships in every video game now. Because it's that much fun. And it is fun. I'm getting into it. I'm figuring out how to, like, fight the other boats and stuff, and I'm upgrading my ship, and it's getting cool.
Well, okay, so this is a little bit what I'm talking about, but
going around to islands.
It's probably not the simulator. I'm thinking
you
of
want
something.
A ship simulator. Like, this
one I'm driving.
Well, what I was envisioning was you could
put it in reverse.
You could have a choice. Like, let's say you want it to be as realistic as possible, and you actually want to know, well, what wind condition do I put up this sail and that sail. And or you could have it do it automatically if you wanted. But another aspect of it is you could be a privateer, or you could be a military captain, or you could be a pirate, or you could be a pirate sometimes and a privateer other times. Yeah. And you could go to ports, you know, something like that. That would be a really cool game.
Yeah.
And but I don't think that there are kind of
versions. No, I think there might be versions of that. Not getting as granular in the piloting itself. I mean, this one has, you know, I have different speeds if I'm at half mast or half sail or full sail. And the wind is definitely a factor. Hmm. The wind on my little map, I get to see the direction of the wind, and that factors how I can go and stuff like that.
But none of the terminology comes into it about with the different types of sails.
Well, they say it, but it doesn't mean anything to me. On the screen, it says press A to speed up and press B to slow down. So yeah, no, it's not a Mario Kart.
See, I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I bet it exists.
Hmm.
Okay.
If
I think
not,
that's
the hatters should make it happen.
Yeah. If you are going to create a 18th century ship simulator, go to the blog, themagicaldoggingcat.com. Tell us about it. Also, I want to go on record as saying, I grabbed it earlier so you guys weren't here. Apparently, the hat was so intent on this card being spoken of that it just shot out of the hat, which I don't think has ever happened in our history of 200 weeks.
Wow.
But Beth Westlake.
Okay.
Who's caught up?
Apparently wrote, congratulations, William, Tony, producer, and TMTH on this milestone. So apparently, fuck you, Ezzy. Which I'm totally comfortable with. And thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. That was nice.
We feel proud and a little gassy about it.
Beth joined us for episode 100.
Yes, she did.
Yep.
Yes. Speaking of which, I'm wondering where Mark is. And Mark has gone strangely quiet. Yeah. I think he may have gone to whatever land Blood Sparrow went to.
Mm.
The place where people actually work.
Yeah. What place is that? I don't like that place. All right. So, hat?
Okay.
I feel like we should give the producer first grabs.
First grabs? I thought we were almost done. How many grabs are there going to be?
I second that emotion.
We'll probably go over for this one. Yeah. What? By the way, make your plans appropriately, people. We're going to go a little long.
Well, they're worried because you said talk for 3 hours about Black Mirror, and they're like, holy shit, man.
Did I say I was going to talk for 3 hours about that?
I said you could talk.
You could.
Oh, yeah. We won't. I mean, we kind of already... Is this one from you?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
But I tend to write these ones that have to do with you guys specifically. So this...
Okay. All right.
And I didn't sign this one, but I'm
copying. But
I'm
you know it's
it
yours?
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Right. When I read it, you're going to know it's mine, too.
All
right. A la Freaky Friday.
A la Freaky Friday.
William and Tony exchange bodies.
William and Tony exchange bodies.
What's the first thing you want to do as the other person?
I am really glad you said...
I don't want to know that. I do not want to know the answer to that question.
Are you going to make him eat a hamburger?
La, 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 la.
I'm really glad you said a la Freaky Friday. Otherwise, I would have imagined a situation wherein William and I each acquired corpses and exchanged them as some sort of gift-giving ceremony.
I don't want to know the answer to that question.
You... Well, then you answer first.
No, because you're going to say it anyway. I don't know. Here's the first thing I would do. Oh, man, what would I do? Okay, I'm you.
Yes. You could get away with a lot of things. You could do a lot of things and still later be able to say you never did those things.
The first thing I would do is say, wow, my knees hurt. No. Do your knees ever hurt?
My knees don't hurt.
I'm projecting.
I had surgery.
I'm projecting.
On your knees?
And on his back.
Yeah. No, I think that was the closest William gets to a fat joke.
No, that wasn't a fat joke. I thought you always complained about your knees hurting when you walked. Or maybe I'm thinking of my dad.
Wow. Little window into...
Wait. When you were having back problems, you didn't have...
No, that was my back.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking of the back. Anyway.
Well, he likes to wear boxes on his head, so I do like to wear boxes for that. On, yeah.
I mean, it seems like the first thing I would do is try to find me.
Let's...
to beg you not to do anything terrible with my body. That's probably the first thing I would do.
I feel like that makes sense.
And actually, I can't even think of anything beyond that because that would totally be a...
So for yours,
dominating my
for
thoughts.
Your scenario, the magical leprechaun that did this to us, has convinced you to your satisfaction, A, that this will go away in, let's say, 24 hours, and B, I switch into your body in a cage that's sitting right here and I can't get out of it. So.
I think you could still come up with something that would horrify him.
Okay, wait. Well, yeah,
okay, and
I do too.
And I'm handcuffed. What?
Don't even mention it.
I'm in a chemically induced coma.
In carbonite.
All right, yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm saying you don't have to worry about how to fix it, and you don't have to worry about what I'm going to do.
So for 24 hours. Well, you could just say that I am in your body, and you are nowhere until 24 hours concludes.
Right.
Like you said, my body's in a coma or something.
There we go.
What I would probably, Trish know? Do I have to explain this to her or what?
This is getting a little creepy.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
No, come on. Don't do that. Just tell me if she knows.
Trish, it's your question. I think you have to decide if you know.
I wasn't planning to be here when it was answered.
This is William, so let's assume if you don't know, he spends the first part of the time explaining it to you.
Yes,
that's not
kind
an
of what
interesting
I'm...
story, so let's assume she knows. She's there. In fact, the leprechaun is doing this as a favor to her.
Because I just think it would be hilarious.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, so the first thing I'd do is I'd ask her to help me figure out a way to sedate me so that I can sleep for the next 24 hours.
Really?
Yes, because that way I know I won't do anything. with your body that you would not
this makes sense.
Be okay with.
And I assume,
and we all but know I'm going to do it sleeping.
Anyway. I'm going to say it anyway, but I assume I know the answer. Even if I assured you that I was fine with this.
With whatever I chose to do.
Yes.
No, it's not going to matter.
That I trust you. I did not think so.
It's not going to matter.
I was like, this man is not comfortable with the idea of people telling him intimate details, even if all parties involved are there and agree to it. He's certainly not going to be okay with taking somebody's body and doing some shit.
I'm not okay with...
You could just sit and watch some TV, though. I mean, that's fine. You don't have to be knocked out.
Well, that's just the safest thing.
Somebody's got to eat.
What if he watches a show and it's terrible and you have nightmares?
No, it's just, it's the principle of
Dude,
the thing.
I saw
I don't
Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. I'm fine.
No, what if I went and watched Ghost Rider over and over and over? No, but seriously, except for the break when I watched Paul Blart Mall Cop. But no, listen, I don't have a right.
No,
anything with your body. So I shouldn't decide what to eat.
The producer doesn't understand. Maybe our audience. I get this. I've spent enough. Actually, the hard hats will understand because they've been with us long enough.
For 200 episodes.
They get the philosophy of William to that degree. Because I absolutely understand immediately what you're talking about.
But see, I... oddly, I'm afraid that you wouldn't have the same approach toward being in my body, and I don't...
Do I have time beforehand to order things off of Amazon?
No. You remember Freaky Friday? Like, you guys are doing the podcast, and you both say at the same time, I wish I were you. And when next morning
well,
we
okay,
wake
up... Well, okay, there's your first problem.
Well, yeah, of course.
For different reasons, probably, but we would never do that.
I mean, if you want, I can write in the future and be like, so if it was like the Parent Trap and you just went to William's house and William stayed here on the podcast, what would happen next? Because you guys look so much alike.
If it was like Wife Swap.
Right.
Or if I just said, I wish I was Jamie Lee Curtis at the same time. William said he wishes he was...
Oh, no. We're talking about the classic...
Of course we are, but it's way funnier this way. And way more racist, because that one is done by a magic fortune cookie.
I don't really like body swap stories. They just... I can't...
I don't like body swap stories that aren't porn.
No, I mean, I just can't... You know, I have a hard time with fiction anyway, and that seems like the most outlandish. Well, I mean, of course, that can never happen. It doesn't even make sense. So I can't even suspend my disbelief enough to kind of get into it.
And honestly, you're my friend. I would not do it. I probably wouldn't go to the trouble of sedating myself. I would probably watch TV and have some vegan snacks.
Would you respect me enough to have vegan snacks?
I think I would.
That's
I think
nice.
I would. Well, Jesus
Assuming
Christ.
Assuming you had them in the house. I mean, it's not like he's going to go out and buy them. Or
well, here's... Yeah, no. As long as they're to hand. No, here's the thing, though. You're my friend. I don't want you to deal with the, not even metaphoric, shitstorm that happens if I'm eating other stuff. And if I stay in the body long enough, I sure as hell don't want to deal with that. So it's just better for everybody around. Now it might get more interesting if it's like a random person's body or whatever, or something different. That's the thing. You're also just a fucking white guy, approximately my age,
who lives in Coralville instead of Iowa City.
Exactly. So like, it's interesting that you're not fat. But otherwise, I'm not sure it's a big difference. I mean, you tell me I get to be a woman for a day. That's a whole other thing. Or I'm a different ethnicity for a day in a different location or what, you know, that kind of shit.
Because the original plot line was that they got to learn from the others.
Walking
experience.
A mile in your shoes, I don't think would teach me a lot and would be really boring.
It might teach you
it
a
would
little,
be really boring.
You probably didn't need the full mile to learn.
I don't think so. I'd walk out the door and be like, yep, I got it covered.
Have you really never complained to me about your knees before? That's kind of bothering me because I could
It's bothering the fuck out of me.
I could swear you've complained about your knees before.
It is possible at some point my knees have hurt.
I know.
I'm not going to go so far as to say there's never been a point in my life where my knees didn't hurt. Or when my knees hurt. But
I must be thinking of my dad.
It has never been a chronic issue.
He complains about his knees all the time. And he's you guys are the same size, height, and everything.
The producer has knee issues.
That must be what it is.
But no, in general, I have not. This one's bugging me now, but I think it's psychosomatic because we keep talking about it.
I think it's because of the radiation coming out of your computer.
Well, also, as long as I've known you, you've complained about back issues until you got it corrected. So
yes.
So it must have been like a cross between me and you. Like, we were talking about body swaps, and now I'm...
You know whose knees hurt? Jamie Curtis.
So there was a crossing of the
wires.
That's
why she eats that yogurt. Help you with your knees.
That I'm sorry, Trish. That was probably not a very interesting answer.
Oh, that's all
right. Oh, come on. Sometimes it's the answer we expected for William, and we all know the answer we expected for me. I don't even need to say it, because we all know how that was going to go.
Sometimes it's like not about fill in, the answer. It's about the conversation.
It's about the journey. Fill in your own answer from me as your prurient tastes. Write fan fiction. If you write body swap fan fiction about me and William, please post it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Yeah.
Or I was going to say,
put it someplace.
And be sure to use appropriate tags because we want to know what we're getting into.
Because we don't want any surprise at MPreg. That's
no.
Disgusting.
Some people can't handle DubCon, so.
So, but we all know that you are, and I'm totally blanking on the word.
Your husband.
Your hedonist. So also, if people want to say what they would do in Tony's body, they should leave a comment on the blog.
Ooh, yes, please. I feel like, or I should give out my personal email here. What are you going to do in my body?
I don't,
all right. Well,
that's just something I don't even want to know.
Even Ezzy looks disgusted.
I don't know where we are as far as time, but Ezzy is currently smushing the hat. So.
Oh shit. Ezzy. Oh, she looks real comfortable. All right, we're just gonna have that one question tonight, I guess.
No, I suppose.
I don't know.
Episode 200.
If you want to disturb the queen.
All
she
right.
knows she's sitting on the hat. It's like, I know what I'm doing here.
It's like,
I'm daring everybody.
Fuck your podcast.
What's the matter?
Somebody
Ezzy?
Needs to feed me.
What's the matter? You don't want to get off the hat? You love sitting on the hat. You do that with the hat a lot.
One time she went in the hat, and she came back out, and she had no head. But she got better.
But she had a question written on her.
She
was very confusing.
The bloody stump of her neck had an email transcribed on it.
Oh, look at her, just sitting there all proud
what
of herself.
What do you think happens when a cat has no head? Their anatomy is not so different from us that... Yeah, okay. They're not like Legos, I mean...
Yeah, so she walked out of the hat with no head, but you're making fun of me because I'm disgusted by the bloody stuff.
I'm just saying, that's just science.
Oh, no.
That's just biology.
She's looking at me like, shut up.
Yes, you're too loud.
You are too
loud. I'm trying to nap.
On the hat.
All right. This has devolved into a cute cat Facebook post, so we should probably wrap it up. If you'd like to write the hat, and you would, go to write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Everyone should do it. It's the cool thing to do.
I do it.
The producer does it, and
let's see what happens.
And if you don't, do it, then she wins. Don't let my wife win. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Talk there. It's a new year. Time for some new comments.
Yeah.
Don't let Jazz have all the fun. Who's gone suspiciously quiet too?
Oh, no, maybe
well,
she went
know.
To that working
place. I think it's the
holidays. Yeah.
But those are over now, so get on the stick, people. Drive the boat.
Right. And I should be back in a little less than 2 years for the 300th episode.
Exactly.
So mark that on your schedules.
No, but you were here for a different one.
Yep. For 100, but also
no,
for...
No, something.
Yeah, we did... we
a
did
Christmas
one,
or a Halloween or something.
I don't remember if it marked a holiday, like, but she was...
Or
yeah.
was it like an anniversary? I don't know.
No, it was...
There was no reason?
No, it was like during the first year.
Just because you're that... Because you were so popular, we were like, we have to give them what they want.
It was... I think it was even in the first year.
All right.
And then not again until episode 100.
And also,
depending
on how shit goes, she might be here in a couple of weeks, but that's a surprise.
So,
so don't tell anybody.
Mark, when you catch up. People can hear me talking.
Yes, but they like it better when they hear from me.
Okay, well, tell Mark what I want him to know then.
All right, Mark, what she wants you to know is...
No, when you make the Magical Talking Hat wiki...
When you make
that
the
lists
hat,
out every episode in great detail and the guests, then we'll know what episode I was on. And that's
somebody
Mark's
make
job
that happen.
As hard hat.
I was actually going to look it up so I could say which episode it was, but I couldn't find it. I mean, easily. I'm sure if I just went.
Everybody
through.
Is because slacking it, here, and I'm the only one who gets to slack.
But if it was early on, it was when you were just posting them because, like, you didn't even put the questions or stuff up.
Yeah, but
end.
I'm sure in that's the description true. He'd put if you were in the show.
Yeah, no, I did. In fact, the title may be. Featuring the producer or some shit like that.
Know. What's the title of this episode?
Driving the boat. No. I think it might be driving the boat.
You,
driving
no,
the boat.
You said earlier it was something, and I don't remember.
I think it's the subtitle for Black Mirror. It's slightly implausible.
Yes,
but
disturbingly less implausible than you think.
Would like.
Than you would like. That's a little long. I don't know. Let's see. We'll give it a shot.
You could just abbreviate it, and we can have a new acronym. But I don't think you can say it. Lulus.
Do that again. That was cool.
Hat Wiki. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't think it would be once it existed, but it should exist.
I mean, there'd be stuff to put in. Not interesting trivia things.
I feel like we have really dropped down to a bare bones of like four people who listen to this podcast. I don't know. Every once in a while, I find, but I really feel like we've got like no listeners now, except for the ones that actually write in and comment on the thing, and we know and love you. But like, I don't even know if Sir Guido is still around. Mm. Agitalin pops in and out. Mm.
Aren't there like statistics or something that say how many people listen?
There's. How many clicks and stuff. And it's not, I don't know. But we want to hear from you because we don't want to feel alone in this cold, cold world. But for those of you who are still there, and for those of you who are determined to never let us know that you listen, rest assured we're going to keep doing it because we got nothing else going on.
And it's fun.
And we love the three or four of you that we know are still out there. We love you all.
And
unless you're Ezzy.
And Beth
even, we'd like to give you our cat.
Beth even said a nice little thing to the hat that got spit out to tell us. Congratulations.
Yeah. It was kind of gross when it happened.
Well, it usually is, but...
Yeah.
It was like some of Izzy's guts on it? Or what?
She got better.
Okay, I'm going to go make your supper, dude.
All right. For all the rest of you, keep on driving the boat.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.